Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
Some of you know this. As we were preparing for this series, we got to do something pretty cool. Eric's really one of his best friends from middle school, high school, and roommate in college, flies F-18 Super Hornets, which is as awesome as it sounds. And he is stationed at Naval Air Station Oceana, which is in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So about a month ago, we took a trip up there, and we visited with KC, and you saw part of his interview last week, and you'll see his interview for the rest of this series. But we got to do other cool stuff besides just the interview. Well, one of the cool things we got to do is he took us into, like, their room, and he dressed us all up in flight gear. I think we have a picture of that. Let's see. Yeah. Check that out, man. Those are three hard dudes, man. It was funny, when my wife saw that picture, she immediately goes, "Are you going to jump out of an airplane?" I don't know why that equals jump out of an airplane, but you can usually assume the answer is no to "Am I going to jump out of an airplane?" I promise. But we got to do cool stuff. He took us around. He gave us these great behind-the-scenes tours. I think we saw things most people don't get to see. You know, we got to be up close and personal with an F-18. We looked in the cockpit. He actually took us out on the airstrip where there were a bunch of jets getting ready to take off. We watched a few jets take off. We watched a few land. This was fun, but it was a little terrifying because we had no identification on whatsoever. We had a bunch of equipment. We had a camera. Eric was convinced a sniper was going to take us out at any moment. You know, we think we might have triggered the Pentagon at some point. They were like, "We have intruders on the base." Like, it was crazy. But the coolest thing we got to do, I think one of the coolest things we did, was Lieutenant Holland arranged for us to fly in some flight simulators. And so he took us into this building. That was where it kind of got a little serious. The cameras were not allowed in that building. In fact, our cell phones were not allowed in the building. We had to surrender our cell phones at the door before we went in. They actually locked them in a little mailbox-looking thing. So they locked the cell phones in. We go in. We walk in. The mood is just different in there. Like, nobody's really smiling. Everybody's serious. Half the doors you see are, like, triple locked, and they have little plaques on the side that say classified. And so this is where I think we're going to be arrested. We get to our door, our room, and it actually says unclassified on it. And I looked at Kel, I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool. You have some unclassified rooms." And they were like, "No, they did that for you." I was like, "Oh." It's like, so yeah, we've stripped all the things off the simulator. No weapons, no future targets. You know, it was just all. And so I don't want to know future targets. I don't even want to talk about some of the terrifying things Lieutenant Holland said to me. And so we won't even go there. But so we get to the simulator, right? And he had arranged it so there was two simulators. And so I get in the first one, Eric gets in the second one, and it's pretty cool. It's exactly like an F-18 cockpit for the Super Hornets. And so there's a seat behind me, and so TJ gets in behind me, so he's my goose, you know? And we had headsets that we could talk to, so I could talk to KC, I could talk to Eric, I could talk to TJ. We'd actually talk to this nice lady who was controlling the flight sim for us. And so, of course, what I'll do, I get in, I sit down, and I go, "Talk to me, goose. Talk to me, goose." And I was so proud of myself. And it's such a terrible joke. Like, everybody who sits in that seat says the same thing. But I was so proud of myself when I made the joke. And I'm sure the lady running the tower was like, "I've never heard that before." So anyway, we're sitting in the cockpits, and Eric's over here, and Eric takes off first because Lieutenant Holland's with him. And then he tells me, he says, "All right, go ahead and take off." And so throttle's over here, kind of push the throttle all the way up. He says, "When you get to about 140 knots, pull back." And I pulled back, and we take off, and I start climbing. And at this point, I've decided I could do this. Of course. It's not that hard. I could fly F-18 Super Hornets because, look, I just took off. So I start climbing, and Lieutenant Holland, he's in my headset, he just casually says, "All right, Trey, you need to go ahead and raise your landing gear." Okay, he says that like I should know how to raise landing gear in an F-18 Super Hornet. And I think I just probably said something like, "KC, that's a negative, Ghost Rider. I don't know where that is." And he said, "Oh, it's next to the indicator." I was like, what? He's like, yeah, no, it's next to the indicator. Like, I should know what that is. And I was like, man, I don't know what that is. And he says, it's on your left. Well, if you've ever seen the inside of an F-18 Super Hornet, on your left refers to no less than 14 billion lights and switches that are on your left. And I'm like, man, what is, and then he starts naming other things that I don't know what he's talking about. And then the lady running the simulation, she gets involved and she tries to be helpful. And she comes on, sir, it's simply right next to your left phalange there. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. What? Like, and here's the funny part. Even though it's a simulation, even though it's completely pretend, I start to get anxious. Like, my heart starts beating faster. I start to freak out. I'm like, what happens if I don't get my landing gear up? Am I going to have to quit? And quite frankly, what it really was I don't like to fail at anything ever. And I'm like, I couldn't figure this out. And it was driving me insane to the point where I was really close to being like, you know what, guys, I give up. I'm done. Let TJ fly. I'm not doing it anymore. And the nice lady who was doing the simulation, she comes in my room and she says, it's right here. And she lowers my landing gear. And I was like, oh, I was looking left here. It was way up here on the control. I was like, man, that's not left. That's like, you gotta come up with different directions. But anyway, once I found it, I got it. And then it was really fun. We flew, and Casey actually came in, helped me land the plane. I got to land it. And I'm convinced now I could fly F-18 Super Hornet. So if you have a plane, want me to fly it, I've flown F-18 Super Hornet, so I can fly airplane. But I think we've all had the situation happen, right, where you're in the middle of something and you want to do something, but you can't because you don't know something. See, I didn't know what they knew, so I couldn't do what they wanted me to do. I wanted to raise the landing gear desperately. I just didn't know how. I think you've probably found yourself in similar situations, right? Maybe you've had a neighbor call you and you need to go to your neighbor's house and turn the sprinklers on or turn something off. And, you know, they try to walk you through the house, but they use their language. You know, they're like, you know, go over there where Tom broke his leg. You're like, I don't know where Tom broke his leg. Or they take you to the kitchen, you know, and they say, oh, it's in the junk drawer. And you think to yourself, they all look like junk drawers to me. So, you know, so you've had situations where, and you want to help, you want to be nice, you want to do what they want you to do, but you can't because you don't know what you should know, right? You've had those situations before. Maybe you've really wanted to help somebody build something. You really wanted to go get the socket wrench, but you don't know what a socket wrench is. Husbands, maybe you really wanted to help your wife prepare for guests, but you don't know what the good towels are. You don't know the difference. You don't know what my favorite shirt is. I couldn't describe that to you. I think we've all had the experience of desperately wanting to do something, but we can't because we don't know something. And I would go so far as to say, I think there are people sitting in this room today. You've been visiting Wellspring for a while, or you attend another church and you're a guest here, or you're checking this God thing out for the first time. And you've kind of decided, you're like, you know, this God thing sounds right. I'd kind of like to try it. I'd like to do this. I'd like to try following God with my life. I'd like to try that. But the problem is you don't know how. You don't know what you need to know. So you can't do what you want to do. And that really at the core is what this series is about. It's what Instruments is about. It's about teaching you how to follow God's guidance system for your life. Because I believe we have it. I believe God has given us a guidance system, and we're paralleling our lives with pilots. That's why we're talking about this. Because when a pilot flies an airplane, we talked about it last week, they can't fly based on feel. They can't fly based on what just feels right. Okay? And the reason they can is because something we talked about last week, it's something that happens to pilots, and it's called spatial disorientation. We learned about it last week. Spatial disorientation is the mistaken perception of one's position and motion relative to Earth, and it's caused by a lack of visual reference points. What that basically means is when Lieutenant Holland is flying his F-18 Super Hornet and it's sunlight outside and it's beautiful, he is fine. The second he flies into cloud cover, the second it's dark and he loses visual reference points, his mind starts to play tricks on him. which means his mind can say, we need to turn right. And he can turn right. But because of spatial disorientation, he could feel like, well, that didn't work. I'm not turned right. I'm upright. When in reality, he's like this. And so he tries to turn again, and well, now he's like this. But he swears it's true because of spatial disorientation and the way you can manipulate that jet. You still feel like you are right side up. And so he's taught from a very early age, early age of flying, you got to ignore your feelings. You got to trust your instruments. And last week, he talked about how there comes a point where when you're doing that for long enough, you begin to naturally want to trust your instruments. And you can even, by trusting your instruments, change the way you feel about something. We talked about it last week. I want you to watch this real quick. Here's what Lieutenant Holland said about this whole spatial disorientation and how he learns to trust his instruments and how trusting those has changed the way he felt. Check this out.
Over time, as you've done it more and more and more, you're going to go, okay, yep, I'm feeling like I'm in a left-hand current. For me personally, one thing I really do is I will really, when I say come in, I'm like, I'm not looking at the whitewash of the clouds. I'm not looking at the blackness of the sea. I am looking completely at the instruments, and I'll bring myself almost like, feel like I'm in a cocoon of the cockpit and just stare at them and just fly them and try to make my brain change my feelings to what those are. And it will happen. It takes time. You get better at it. You get to where you can fight off the disorientation a little bit quicker. But it's always trust the instruments. And it's sort of weird when you get that sort of aha moment where the feelings change and you didn't do anything. You were like, I was in a left-hand turn. I didn't move the instruments. I didn't move the controls at all, but I trusted the instruments and I'm upright again. And it's sort of a weird feeling.
See, pilots go through training and they learn to trust their instruments, and they've learned that once you trust them, it can actually change your feelings. And that really ultimately is my prayer for every person who attends this church and who watches this series, is that as you learn to trust and follow God's instruments for your life, that your feelings will change. That's what we talked about last week, that we need to trust God's leadings, not our feelings. That's kind of where we left it. And I think many of you probably walked out saying, that's a great idea. Yeah, I want to do that. Oh, wait, but how? How do I follow God? How do I actually do that in my life? And that's a phenomenal question. I'm glad you asked it, because that's what we're going to answer today. And really for the rest of the series, we're going to get down and we're going to talk about how to do it. Because until you know what you should know, you can't go where God wants you to go. And so today I want to help you. No, I want to answer the question, what are God's instruments? What are the things he's given us? What are the guidance system things that he's provided for us in our lives that we should follow with our lives, and that we should let supersede our feelings and emotions in different situations? So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to show you God's guidance system. Then for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how to use it. Now, if you were here last week, Lieutenant Holland talked to us about three main instruments that every plane has. And they're airspeed, altimeter, and attitude. Airspeed, how fast you're going. Altimeter is how high you are, your elevation. And then your attitude is your orientation and flight. Three main instruments. He has to trust those, and he uses those to fly the plane when he can't see. Well, the God of the universe has actually given us three instruments as well. Three instruments that are freely available to every single one of us, and that if we use to guide our lives, if we use as filters when we make decisions, when we make choices, can radically transform our life. And some of you know what those are because you've experienced them. Others of you, you have no idea. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to, as clearly as I know how, explain to you the three instruments God's given us. And kind of as a foundational verse for the whole thing, I want to start in the book of Psalms. Psalms is a book in the Old Testament. It's a book of poems. It's a book of people would write prayers to God. They would write poems to God. They would write poems about God. It's a great thing to read if you're sad, because David was very honest with God, and David would go to God when he was mad at God, and he actually writes in the Bible, I'm mad at you, God. And you get to see David worked that out with God. It's fantastic. What we're going to look at today is actually Psalm 119, which is a prayer to God about him. It's basically a prayer praising God. And right in the middle of Psalm 119, we find really the foundation for how we should live our lives. Just like last week, we had a foundational verse. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll show you which path to take. That's Proverbs 3, by the way, 3, 5, and 6. But what we find this week is another one of those foundational verses. A foundational verse that shows us this is how we follow God with our life. And here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I think the imagery is pretty clear, right? Your word is a lamp for my feet. It shows me what steps to take. It brings clarity when there's darkness. It's a light for my path. It shows me what's up ahead. It directs me. It keeps me away from danger. It shows me the best path to take. It shows me new opportunities. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So if we should trust God with our lives, what we're saying now is we should trust God's word with our life. We should follow God's word. Now, even when I say that sentence, some of you in the room, you nod along because you understand. I say follow God's word. You're like, okay, I speak that language. I know what you mean. Others, when I say follow God's word with your life, I might as well be saying raise the landing gear on an F-18. Because you have no clue what I'm talking about. And that's perfectly acceptable. I understand that. But I want to change that today. Because until you know what you should know, you can't go where God wants you to go. And so what I want to do is I want to help break that down. I want to explain to you what God's word is. And this is where we get into the three instruments. See, I believe God has given us three basic instruments for life. And a quick side note, if you're a guest or even if you attend regularly, today's message is a little different. Because the way I'm explaining this, we're going to have to jump around and look at different passages. Usually we look at one text. And it's a little more informational than usual because I've kind of got to teach and explain some things. But the next 2 weeks are going to be all about applying. But just so you know, a little heavier on information this week. But again, you got to know what you need to know before you can go where you need to go. Okay? So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the three different, I don't even know what, the three different versions of God's word, the three different instruments that God's given us. Okay? And it starts very simple. The first one's the easiest. You've heard of it before. God's written word is his first instrument, okay? God's written word, which is the Bible, is the first instrument we have in our lives, okay? God has given us his word, his Bible. I believe that every word contained within this Bible, God led the authors to write. He led the leaders of the church to preserve. And we have today exactly what he wants us to have. I believe that. I believe the principles contained within this Bible are principles I live my life by. Okay, I believe that this written word of God is his perfect revelation to us that he wants us to know. It reveals what he wants us to know about him and how we should live our lives. We talk about a guy named Paul a lot here at Wellspring. Paul was a guy who started a bunch of churches right after when Christianity was first beginning, and he would then write letters to those churches. And I actually believe that Paul's letters are part of Scripture. I believe God led Paul to write those letters, and we have them 2,000 years later, and we can read them, and we can apply them to our lives. Now, here's what Paul says about God's written word. Here's what he says about Scripture and how it's important. He says this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Now, just think about that for a moment. What he's saying is what I just said. All Scripture, this book, is inspired by God. It's useful. It teaches us what is true. So if the Bible says something's true, that means it's teaching us it's true. If a Bible teaches us a principle, like it's best to not lie, then we take that as word and say, okay, well, if the Bible says it's best to not lie, if I believe that, if I believe the truth contained within this, then I shouldn't lie because it teaches us what is true. It makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. And then he says this, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So God's written word is very important. It's very useful. And if you've ever read it, you know that there's a lot of stories here. There's a lot of principles. There's a lot of commandments. There's stories of people who followed God and they found success. There's stories of people that didn't follow God. But we can look at their lives and we can learn principles from their lives and we can learn how we should live our life through God's written word. Now, I've read God's written word cover to cover multiple times. Some of you have as well. And we can all kind of admit to each other right now, there's some weird stuff in here. Especially if you've read the Old Testament. There are things like how much you can sell your daughter for into slavery. See, I don't have any daughters, so I don't have to worry about that. Where you can plant your, you know, there's some weird stuff. And I know some of you are thinking, like, you turn off when I say trust the Bible, because you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, there's crazy stuff in the Bible. I can't trust the whole Bible. No, no, no. Hey, Jesus guy's cool, but no. I don't need rules about selling my daughter into slavery. Although, is it possible? No, I'm just kidding. No, no, never. None of you would do that. Blessings from God, right? Blessings from God. But, right, if you are familiar with the Bible at all, you know the Old Testament. There's some weird stuff. And so as I'm saying, you know, trust it. Follow it with your heart. You push back. You're like, whoa, 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 easy. Well, that's only the first of God's instruments. See, God gave us a second instrument. And the second instrument helps clarify the first one. In fact, the second instrument comes and says, you know what? Some of that stuff doesn't apply to you anymore. Just forget about it. Doesn't matter. And the other stuff, he helps clarify completely. And of course, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about his son. See, Jesus is God's living word. We have God's written word presented through the Bible. And we have God's living word, which is Jesus. Jesus was God. Jesus came to earth and lived a perfect life. He modeled for us exactly how to follow God with our lives. When Jesus was on earth, he clarified some of the Old Testament. We just finished a series all about it. He basically said, sum up the Old Testament. Follow God, help people. Boom. Old Testament summed up. You know, that's what he said. So he clarifies those things for us. He models how to live our life. In fact, one of Jesus' closest followers is a guy named John. John was the guy that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, hey, John, will you take care of my mom? And John said, yeah. And so here's what John said about Jesus. He said this in 1 John 2. He says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So see, God's living word, Jesus, is a model for us. In fact, if you grew up when I did, or whenever, you may be familiar with what I'm holding in my hand. It's this little bracelet, and it says WWJD. You guys know what these are? Remember those? We wore these before we wore these. You know, that's what we do. But WWJD was popular with students and athletes and all around, and it stood for what would Jesus do? And the thought behind it was you were supposed to wear this bracelet when you were in situations rather than doing what you wanted, doing what felt right, doing what felt good. You were supposed to do what Jesus would do. And we didn't know it at the time, but that was part of God's instrument. That was part of his guidance system for us. We are supposed to model our life after Jesus. We are supposed to try to make decisions based on what Jesus would do. Now, again, you can't do what you should do until you know what you should know. How do you know what Jesus would do? Well, that's why we call him God's living word. He's still alive. He's real. And you can have a relationship with him. You can have a friendship with him. You can talk to him. You can hear from him. You can be guided by him. We're supposed to engage in that relationship with Jesus. And we're also supposed to do that because I don't know if you've ever figured it out before, but for example, the Bible says do not lie, right? You know what that means? That means don't lie. So for following God's written word, it means you're deciding I'm not going to lie. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, I'm going to tell the truth. My wife, when my wife asks me, how does this dress make me look? I think God's okay if I lie. But other than that, I'm going to tell the truth. That means you decide. The Bible says do not steal. You know what that means? It means don't steal, ever. It means if you're going to live your life based on God's guidance system, you decide I'm never going to steal. When given the opportunity to steal, I don't steal. Even when I can convince myself in my head, I deserve this. I should be able to steal. Don't do it. Follow God's guidance system for your life. But here's the problem. We all lie. We all steal in some capacity. We all do those things. See, we can't perfectly live up to God's standard, no matter how hard we try. So that's the other reason Jesus came. That's the other reason we want to have a relationship with him. He's called God's living word. When we have a relationship with him, through that relationship, he can actually change us from the inside out. He can change us so that we begin to desire to do the things he wants us to do, and we stop doing the things that we shouldn't be doing. Because we can't follow God's guidance system by ourselves. We have to be transformed. And that's the third key to this. That's the third piece. We have God's written word, we have God's living word, and we have God's transforming word. We call that the Holy Spirit. I know that sounds weird, the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a ghost, right? But all the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is God at work inside of you, changing you. Remember when Lieutenant Holland said that when he's flying his jet, that he zeroes in on the instruments and he really looks and he really focuses and his feelings change. Well, when we really focus on God and we say, God, I want to please you, when our feelings change, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's the ultimate goal, is that our feelings change. It's not that we just stop acting like jerks, it's that we stop being jerks. Right? This series isn't about behavior modification. This series is about internal transformation. And there is a humongous difference. When you follow God's instruments with your life, when you follow his written word, his living word, and his transforming word, you are changed from the inside out. And you may say, still, the Holy Spirit sounds weird. I'm not sure about it. Let me give you some examples of the Holy Spirit, help you understand what the Holy Spirit is, right? The Holy Spirit is what helps you. If you've ever read the Bible and you read it and you're like, oh, that's something I should do in my life. That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what helps you understand the Bible and helps you know how to apply it to your life. The Holy Spirit is your conscience. You know that voice when you start to do something, that voice says, I wouldn't do that. You think it's your mother. It's not. It's the Holy Spirit. Although sometimes moms really feel called to be the Holy Spirit. Not my mom. Anyway, but that voice that says, hey, Don't make that mistake. Don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you, trying to guide with you. If you've ever had an example, a time, I hear people say this all the time, where you're sitting in the crowd and I'm preaching and you get that cold chill because you're like, dude, was he in my house this week? Has he bugged my house? Is he reading my email? Like, how does he know that? I'll give you away a preacher's secret. I don't know, right? I'm not in your house, except a few of you. And you know who you are. No, I'm not. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who speaks to you and makes you think, man, how did he know to say that? I didn't know to say it. The Holy Spirit knew you needed to hear it, and he said it to you. And now he wants you to follow it. I've had people tell me after church, man, when you said da-da-da, it changed my life. And I just say, thank you, whole time thinking, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But the Holy Spirit did. See, the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is what speaks to us and tries to change us from the inside out. Cool thing about the Holy Spirit, it can speak through preaching and teaching. He can even speak through your friends. If you have friends that are pursuing God with their life and they're following God's instruments for their life, you can go to them and say, hey, what do you think I should do? And he can speak to you through them. He really can. That's one of the reasons we stress community here at Wellspring. That's why we want you in community groups and in serving groups, is because we want you to have the relationships. We want you to have the infrastructure in your life. But when you have to make a decision, you know who to call. You know who to ask. You know who to go to and say, hey, what do you think I should do? And what will happen is they'll say, well, you know, actually, God's written word, the Bible, addresses that very thing you're dealing with. You're like, I didn't know that. And they can help you. And you can follow it. God's written word, God's living word, and God's transforming word. Here's what our buddy Paul says about following God and following God's Holy Spirit with your life. In Galatians 5, verse 16, says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let his word, the written word, the living word, and this transforming word, guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And we don't like to think about that sinful nature. We don't like that. But what your natural self, what your feelings say? He's saying, don't trust those things. Instead, follow the Holy Spirit. In other words, what I said last week. Follow God's leadings, not your feelings. How do you do that? You follow God's word. You seek God's word. You seek his written word. You have a relationship with his son Jesus, and you ask his living word. And you pray, and you allow yourself to be transformed, and you follow his transforming word. Now, I want to ask a question that it might seem harsh. It might judge up some bad memories, but it's okay because we're going to end up better on the other side. So just go with me. I want you to think about some of your biggest mistakes in life. Some of the biggest regrets. Some of those things that still haunt you. I know you don't like to think about it, but some of the big regrets. You're like, man, why did I do that? You know, the regret that in the moment felt right, felt like a great idea, felt like this is what I should do, this is what I should buy, this is I should be with this person, I should say yes, I should have one more drink. You felt like you should say yes, and today you regret that. You regret a lot. We all have them. We all have those regrets. Now, I want you to imagine that you're back in that situation. And instead of doing what felt right, what if you had said, what does God's word say? What does his written word say I should do in this situation? Do you realize that the vast majority of the decisions you make on a daily basis are covered right here in God's written word? The vast majority, how to interact with human beings, how to raise your children, how to interact with your spouse, how to interact with your boss, how to interact with your employees, how to treat other people, how to forgive, what to do with money. All right here in God's written word. We just have to know what we need to know so we can go where God wants us to go. But think about it. What if you had asked in that moment, what does God's written word say? And what if you had said, you know, what does God's living word say? Jesus, what would you do in this situation? What would you have me do? What do you think is right? And what if you had said, you know, what is your transforming word say I should do as I pray about this? Or if I were to ask some of my godly friends, what would they say I should do in this moment? Now, let's just say you'd done that. You'd gone through those three filters. Now, imagine yourself back in that situation. Would you have done the same thing? Or would you have done something different? Now see, we can't change the past, but we can change our future. That's why Paul says, forgetting the past, I strive for what God has for me. And God has something for every single one of you in this room, and it's more than you can possibly imagine. But if you want to go where God wants you to go, you got to know what God wants you to know. You got to know how to follow his guidance system. You got to know his instruments. You got to know how to use his written word. You got to have a relationship with Jesus, and you got to understand his living word. And you got to allow him to change you through his transforming word. Now, we want to make this as easy as possible for you here at Wellspring. It's why we exist, why we do what we do. So let's start with the written word. Some of you don't even have a Bible. You wouldn't even know where to get a Bible. You're not going to a Christian bookstore because they freak you out. It's okay, they freak me out too. So here's what we're going to do. If you don't have a Bible, or if you don't have a Bible you can understand, meaning like the King James, if your Bible has more these and thous and thises and thuses, get one you can understand, all right? And we have one for you today. It's free. We're going to have a table right out in the lobby with Bibles, the New Living Translation. It's a very simple to read translation. It's what I preach from every week. Grab a Bible. Grab God's written word so you have it. You can't follow it until you have it. If you're a tech person like me and you have an iPhone or an iPad and all that kind of stuff, there is an amazing app. It's called, wait for it, The Bible. That's the name of the app. It's put out by lifechurch.tv. It's called The Bible because they're very creative. Download that thing And you can have the Bible wherever you go. You can have it on your iPhone, your Android phone, your iPad, what other tablets? I think there's a Kindle version. I mean, it's everywhere. And by the way, that's just as good as this, by the way. There's nothing magical about having a book with pages in it. Don't let anybody make you feel bad because you read your Bible on your iPhone. In fact, if someone says that, say, I'm not your friend anymore. Give them one chance. Say, I'm going to give you one chance. I'm going to give you one shot to never say that again. If you say it again, we're not friends anymore. Because that's crazy. That's insane. But if you don't have God's written word, get it. We have made it. Literally, it can't be easier. You can grab one on your way out, or you have permission. Take out your phone right now. Go to the App Store. We got free Wi-Fi here. Download that junk, all right? The Bible. So that you have God's written word. Now, that may not be enough. You say, you know what? Even if I had the Bible, I wouldn't know what to do with it. I wouldn't know how to read it. You know, we understand that. So we have an environment here at Wellspring that we call Starting Point. And guess what we do in that environment? We help you start. We help you start your relationship with God. We help you learn how to interact with God's written word, God's living word, and God's transforming word. Starting Point is one of my favorite things we do here as a church. And here's the best part about Starting Point. It's at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And you say, wait, we have a service then. Exactly. We do it during our first hour on campus, which means if you have kids, you bring them and they can go ahead and be in our kids area. We even have something for kids that stay for 2 hours because, yeah, we have people that stay here that long. So we take care of them. It's easy. And Starting Point, it is fantastic. It's not a class. It's a group. It's a group of people that all have the same questions that are all trying to learn how to follow God's guidance system for their life. The curriculum is excellent. The teachers are phenomenal. There are people at Wellspring that go through it twice because they like it so much. Okay? So it's not a class. It's the starting point. If you say, man, I want to follow God with my life, but I don't know how. Well, if you want to go where God wants you to go, you have to know what God wants you to know. And we try to do that here. I've tried to do that in this message, but I know you have questions. I can't take your questions here. Starting Point is an environment designed for you. So if that interests you at all, if you say, man, that sounds like a good thing, take out your connection card and just write Starting Point on it. We're going to start a group in a few weeks. We're going to do one this fall. You're not signing up for it. We just want to know you're interested so we can let you know, hey, this is when the next one's starting. Don't miss out. If you want to follow God with your life and you don't know how, Starting Point is for you. It's for you. So, as we close, I just ask the question, how would your life be different? How would your regrets be different if you filtered your decisions through what does God's written word say I should do, what does God's living word say I should do, and what does God's transforming word say I should do? I think we all know the answer to that question. So why would we want anything less than the absolute best for the rest of our lives? So choose today to embrace God's instruments. Because now you know how to do it. And then come back next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the next step. We're going to get practical. And next week, I'm going to talk about the one gift. It's just one. One gift that God has given each and every one of us to enable us to use his guidance system, to prepare us. Lieutenant Holland talked last week about how long he was trained before he could fly. Well, do you know that God has given each and every one of us a training ground where we can prepare to follow his instruments? That's what we're going to talk about next week. And I hope you'll come back. And I hope you'll even decide this week just to begin as you walk through your life, to begin, ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do here? What would the Bible say I should do here? What would my friends say I should do here? And if you don't know the answer, ask a friend. If you don't have any friends, email one of us. Email the staff. Ask us what we should do. Go back and look through the past series. We put every series we've ever done online. We covered a lot of stuff in about 3 years, right? Watch those things. Man, we do the best we can every week to show you this is what God's word says you should do. This is how your life should be different because of it. And oh, by the way, it won't be possible unless you have a relationship with God's living word. That's what we try to do. And so that's my prayer for you as you leave here today, that you better understand God's instruments, that you know what God wants you to know. And so I hope you'll choose to go where God wants you to go. because I promise it is a life you never thought possible. Let me pray for us. God, we love you so much, and we thank you that you make it so clear. Lord, I pray that you make it real in each one of our lives, your written word, your living word, your transforming word. Help us to understand. Help us to follow. And help us to be transformed through a relationship with you. Guide us this week and bring us back next week to learn the next step in this process, so that we can all begin to ignore our feelings and follow your leadings for our lives. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.